Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. Christmas is the celebration of a birth. A celebration of any birth is certainly cause for much joy, welcoming a new member of a family, a new life into this world. But of course, Christmas is the celebration of no ordinary birth. As the Apostle Paul points out here in his letter to Titus, in fact, it's actually the celebration of two births, or of two kinds of birth. Of course, at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who became a true human being, just like us, except without sin, to live among us sinful people in order to be our Savior. But we who celebrate the birth of our Savior also celebrate our own second births, which have come about in a most miraculous way because of his miraculous birth. Paul speaks of this birth in verse 5 of our reading. He saved us not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, Christmas time is a celebration of two births, our Savior Jesus' birth in human flesh and our own spiritual births through the power of the Holy Spirit, working faith in our hearts through this good news and through the washing of baptism, which brings to us the forgiveness that our Savior Jesus has won for us. These are precious gifts that our Heavenly Father gives to us to be opened and cherished and appreciated, not just at Christmas time, but all the time. In fact, the birth of Jesus gives us a cascade of a myriad of gifts that overwhelm us with our Heavenly Father's love and generosity. Consider especially the four gifts that the Apostle Paul describes here in this reading from his letter to Titus. The gift of Jesus, the gift of God's love, the gift of baptism, and the gift of eternal life in heaven. Christmas is the time when we celebrate the fact that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. We celebrate the gift of Jesus, our Savior, through whom we enjoy this multitude of spiritual gifts. Our salvation itself is a gift from God, something that we could not earn, that we could not bring about by our own efforts. Now, our Heavenly Father gave us this gift of his own Son to be our Savior out of his amazing love for you and me. For many people, Christmas is not always such a happy time. Paradoxically, as our society tells us that people should be the happiest out of the whole year at this time of year, that they should be the most content. But actually, sometimes they are, at this time of year, the most miserable. In fact, psychologists tell us that the incidence of self-harm and abuse rise remarkably around this most wonderful time of the year. The loneliness that many people feel seems to become even more unbearable when they contemplate the excitement of other people who are rushing about, planning and doing things with family and friends. But no matter what our situation in life is, we have a gift beyond all other gifts. God has given us his own Son, and he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He overcomes our feelings that perhaps sometimes we feel in our depression or despair that we have been abandoned by God, that he no longer loves us or cares about us. No, he assures us that he knows just what it is like for us in every situation that we face in life, because he himself has taken on our human frailty, our flesh and blood. He understands our trials and he comprehends our struggles. He, in fact, has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he never sinned. He perfectly obeyed all of God's commands as our substitute in order to credit us with that perfect righteousness in God's eyes. He is fully with us to bring forgiveness, the forgiveness that he won for us by his death on the cross, to bring us abundant life, peace, true, true peace deep in our hearts, knowing that we are no longer objects of God's wrath because of our sins, but now we are simply his dearly loved sons and daughters because of Jesus our Savior. And that also brings us true joy, no matter what might be causing us temporary stress or sadness in our earthly circumstances. We have true joy deep in our hearts, the joy of knowing God's sure and certain promise for Jesus' sake of a perfect eternal future with him in heaven. We so desperately need to open this Christmas gift from our Heavenly Father. How powerfully this section from Paul's letter to Titus conveys the wonderful gift that God's love is. Paul uses four terms to make sure that we get this message. He writes of God's kindness, his love, his mercy, and his grace. Yes, there is absolutely no mistaking God's feeling toward us. God truly loves us. In fact, he likes us. And how different from us he is. We, by contrast, tend to like those who are most attractive or those who can give us the most things that we desire or those who accomplish great things. But God likes us simply because we are his special creatures and because it is in his nature to love all of the crown of his creation. He simply cannot do otherwise. Yes, God loves us. That is a fact that nothing can change. Paul assures us of that fact by repeating God's feelings to us four times in those four different words. He assures us that we go through our life loved deeply by our Heavenly Father. We don't have to crawl through life like miserable worms, despised and rejected. No, we are dearly loved by God. And we can do absolutely nothing that will cause him to stop loving us. Yes, it's true that we can reject him. We can turn away from him. We can rebel against him and his will. But he still goes on loving us and searching for us, waiting for us, calling us to come back to him in repentance and faith in Jesus as our Savior. We read in verses 5 through 7 of our reading, that he saved us, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs in keeping with the hope of eternal life. Yes, we do not deserve his love. The term that the Apostle Paul uses for our being justified or declared righteous before God implies that we are not justified according to any standard of obedience that we have to follow, because we would fail to meet the standard of obedience that God has set, which is perfection. Perfect obedience all of the time to all of God's commands, not only outwardly in our actions and our words, but also inwardly in the thoughts and desires of our hearts and the attitudes of our minds. Now, this righteousness that God gives to us is purely a gift of his grace. He declares us to be not guilty in his sight, to be righteous and holy. And that gift is not earned by us in any way. This is the most precious Christmas gift that God, our loving God, gives to us. And if we think that we can earn this gift from God, if we can be righteous in God's sight in any way by our own effort, God says that we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Jesus told a parable about a Pharisee, someone who was a self-righteous person who thought that he was quite a bit better than most of the other people and a known public sinner who came into the temple of God in Jerusalem to pray. And the Pharisee, the self-righteous man, ended up thanking God that he was so much better than that other sinful guy over there. He thought that he was right with God, good in God's eyes, because of all the good things that he had done in his life. But he made the mistake of thinking that because he met the human standards that he and others of his tribe had set for themselves, that he therefore also merited God's approval and acceptance. But Jesus says, no. It was the other man, the sinful man who repented of his sin and asked God for mercy, who went home justified in God's sight that day, not the man who thought that he was already righteous and did not need forgiveness. Nor are we justified by any standard of obedience. Rather, our justification, being declared righteous, is a precious Christmas gift that our loving Father gives to us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Yes, even at Christmas, we should celebrate the gift of our baptism. Just as we could not bring about our first birth from our mother's womb, we really had no choice in that matter, so also we cannot bring about the second birth, our spiritual rebirth through holy baptism. That also is the gift of our loving Heavenly Father. Through baptism, we put on our Lord Jesus and his righteousness. In some Christian traditions, this gift of God's righteousness to us through baptism is symbolized by having the person being baptized wear a white garment as a remembrance of the righteousness, the holiness that God gives to us in baptism through Jesus our Savior. God assures us that through baptism, we put on the cleansing from sin that has been earned for us by Jesus through his suffering and death and resurrection. Think about if you have children, perhaps when they were a little bit younger or when you yourself were a child, you probably loved to play dress up, to put on clothes that were not your normal everyday clothes and pretend that you were doing things that the grown-ups who would wear those different kinds of clothing would do. Well, our baptism is so much more than just playing pretend. No, through it, we really are clothed with Jesus' holiness and with his perfection. God assures us that baptism has real power. As we look at baptism, if you've ever seen a baptism taking place, or if you remember your own baptism, if you were old enough to remember it, it doesn't look like very much. Sometimes it can be hard for us to believe that just by pouring that bit of water over the person's head, that there really is much of anything at all going on. But of course, in our experience, we can witness the real power that real water does in fact have, some flash floods of raging floodwaters. If you recall from recent news, the devastation that was wreaked, not necessarily through the winds of the hurricane in some parts of our country, but through the raging floodwaters that tore through mountain valleys and the towns that were there. Yes, water has power, but physical water has no power by comparison to the spiritual power of holy baptism, which is God's precious gift to us. The reformer Martin Luther describes the power of baptism in this way, that it works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. The Apostle Paul couldn't say it any more forcefully. Baptism is a gift. He emphasizes it over and over. God saved us not because of righteous things we had done. No, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs. It is God's work. Our salvation is God's work. It is a gift that he freely gives to us. Maybe you've seen published lists of the richest people in the United States or the richest people in the world. Someone has done a study of such lists and determined that by far the largest number of people on that list have inherited their riches. They didn't earn it for themselves. They were given to them, or at least a significant portion of riches were given to them. We also fit into the category with the riches that we have received from God as his heirs. So Christmas really is a good time for us to thank God for these riches of his grace, the precious gifts of forgiveness and salvation that he gives to us in baptism. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. Baptism was given to us. And through it, we receive all of God's riches as his children. Paul continues in verse 7 of our reading, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The cascade of gifts that God gives to us culminates in heaven. We are heirs of heaven right now. In fact, we already own it. We already have a title, a deed to our place in heaven because Jesus has paid for it already for us. We're simply just waiting for the actual receipt of that final, ultimate Christmas gift from our Heavenly Father. But make no mistake, it is already waiting for us. And so this reality of our eternal future that has already been accomplished by our Savior Jesus, that reality colors everything that we do in the here and now. If, on the other hand, we reject our home in heaven, then we would also lose our purpose here on earth. We claim earth and our place in it here and now as God's ongoing Christmas gift, and we look forward to heaven as our coming future eternal gift. Yes, we know the end of our story. It's not written like a good mystery with some strange twists and turns and an ending that will be a total surprise to us. No, we know exactly where we are going, God's heaven. And then the Apostle Paul writes again in verse 4 of our reading, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Yes, Christmas is the time for presents. And what joy we find in giving and receiving those presents. It's great fun to wrap them and to put them under the Christmas tree and to watch the anticipation and the joy that builds as perhaps your little ones try to guess what you've prepared for them under that wrapping paper. And then comes the epiphany, the revelation, when those presents are unwrapped and the gifts inside are revealed and the joy is fulfilled. That word that is translated as appeared in our reading is the word for epiphany. Christmas is the time to remember that God unwrapped, he revealed for us the best gift ever, his Son, Jesus, our Savior. Jesus himself is this great gift. And by his grace, we accept that gift. We treasure it. And all of the other gifts that God gives to us together through Jesus, our Savior. These gifts are beyond all other gifts that we will ever receive in our whole lives. These gifts make for a truly merry Christmas. Amen.